You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 24th of April, 2020. I hope you're enjoying these energies that we're all feeling at the moment. My guest, Danny Arnold McKinney. I haven't heard from Danny at all, actually, so I don't know what's going on, whether something's happened or whatever. I think we're going to have a short show tonight. There's a few things I'm going to be talking about anyway, and a few things I'm going to be catching up on. And if Danny jumps on in the meantime, then obviously we'll get her in. But if not, I think it's going to be a short show tonight. And the sun's shining anyway, so, you know, over here in Ireland anyway. So it'd be a good night to go out and go for a walk with this weather anyway. So there'll be no complaints there. But anyway, before I crack on and talk about a few bits and pieces I'm going to be talking about, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email. Contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, as usual, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, also circleofwhitelightradio.com, and you can find me on Patreon. .com/COWLR, and also on PayPal. It's on the website there. Hello, everybody on the chat room logging in. Thanks for logging in. It's a great evening. The weather's great. It's good to see the sun shining there, and great to see everybody logging in there. And also, we have T-shirts available, so if you fancy a T-shirt, then send us an email to contact us at circleofwhitelightradio.com. And then there are €10 plus postage and packing to support Circle of White Light. Thank you very much. Right, okay, as I said, for the people who are just tuning in at the moment, my guest was supposed to be Danny Arnold McKinney, but unfortunately I haven't heard from Danny at all. It's going to be a short show tonight, but there's a couple of things, as usual, that I just want to read out and announce anyway, and things that happened during the week and stuff like that, so I'll go through. And then we'll probably just finish after that, really. Unless somebody in the chat room wants to ring in and have a chat with me, I'm more than happy for that to happen. Okay, so I just mentioned earlier about the feelings, the energies hitting the planet. You know, human frequency has been very busy. That's been very high. People are beginning to feel the energy. And this date, 24th of April, was a date that Kim mentioned in our last show on United News Network. Now, during the week, there has been like solar activity, and we've been hit by a few energies, solar flares, the planet has anyway, and people have been feeling it. And it's all kind of symptoms from either you are getting too much sleep or you're not getting sleep, and there's headaches, you've got aches and pains, tinnitus, ringing in the ear, and don't putting all this down to ascension symptoms. So people are feeling all of this at the moment with everything going on. And the thing is that sometimes what happens is you'll have an ache and pain. You'll have it for maybe a day or two, or a ringing in the ear, or a headache, or something like that. And then all of a sudden, it'll just go. For no apparent reason, it'll just go. And then maybe a couple of days later, it'll come back. So this is what kind of people have been talking about with these issues. I mean, if you do have an ache or pain, or there is a problem, by all means, go to your doctor and get it checked out and get his opinion. Decide what you want to do, whether you want to take alternative treatments or any medication they want to give you. I see Polly on the chat room there said that she hasn't slept for 3 nights but feel great. Polly, the same thing happened to me during the week. There was a night during the week that I woke up during the night, probably about 2 o'clock, and I didn't sleep for the whole night. I just wasn't tired, didn't sleep. I think it was on Tuesday. And the next day, you normally feel really knackered, tired, and don't you? You really feel tired and you want to have a sleep. But I was okay. I wasn't really tired. I seemed to have more energy. Now, I will say I'm going to be talking about structured water shortly. And I've been taking that, and obviously that might have something to do as well. But I will talk about that. But the energies today, especially, is a pivotal point, and over the next few days, this energy is going to be coming in and ramping up. So just keep an eye on what's happening over the next few days to your body and people around you. Just observe and see what's going on, see what's happening. Because it'd be interesting, get some feedback to see what people are experiencing with the energies the way they are. Okay, the other thing that was in the news during the week, the Irish government, you know, this is my own personal opinion. I feel that the Irish government are traitors, in my humble opinion, and traitors to the Irish people, are actually drafting legislation that allows for the greater good to kick people out of their home to allow other families to move in. So if you have, this is my understanding of it anyway, if you have an elderly person in a three-bedroomed house, then they will say that for the greater good, they need to move out into a smaller accommodation so a family can move in. Now, this wokey BS politics seems to be coming in, and I can guess what will happen if they lived in 1916. I really have no time for self-serving parasites in government. None of them. I don't waste my time with politicians, government, anything like that. They're just as useful as an ashtray on a motorbike. And as most of you know, I have deregistered a long time ago, as have my family, from the political system or the online register for voting. I deregistered years ago. I just got off it. I just don't trust anything the government do anymore. They're just not taking things on a responsible level, and they're not really doing anything. They just seem to just please themselves, and they don't care about the people. They never have. In my opinion, they never have and never will. I do not trust the voting system either. So there's no point in people saying, let's vote them out. They give you the illusion that you have a say. You don't. It's all controlled and manipulated. And for most of you who have spent a lot of time researching and understanding the bigger picture, Agenda 2030, of the hierarchical levels that this goes on and how it works and who controls and everything else, if you've been doing this a long time, then you will know yourself how this is controlled and how this is managed, you know. So at the end of the day, I'm just not wasting my time with politicians anymore. I just don't do it. And, you know, the other thing as well, kind of something I was thinking about during the week, about the jobs that are out there. You know, certain jobs are out there and companies are looking for people now because of what happened with COVID and everything else. And if I got offered a job tomorrow, I would really, really find it hard working for a company that's not service to the people and helping people. You know, if it's, again, it's a corporate company like Amazon or somebody like that, and a job came up, I don't think, you know, I really don't think, if I had a choice, obviously, if you didn't have a choice and you had to pay your mortgage, then I can understand that. Reluctantly, I'd do it. But, you know, given the choice, if a job came up, I just couldn't work for a company that just is self-service to themselves and doesn't really help society, and it's not service to others. Maybe that's got to do with the kind of change that's going on with the energy and everything else. And people are feeling more in tune with the earth and in tune with helping each other and everything else, rather than this 3D system we're in where it's all about greed and everything else. So it's just something I was thinking about the other day. That's all, you know, really. So I don't know how people feel about that on the chat room or people feel about that in general. But, you know, just maybe it's the energies that are coming in. Okay, my week. So just a change of scenery. You know, one of the things I say about everything that's going on, you can't sit down 24/7 and research all this information all the time. You'll burn yourself out, and you just need to get away from things and you need to ground, whether that's doing the housework, washing, ironing, or being out in the shed, doing a bit of work, or whatever you do, you need to get away. You need your away time from this, because you will burn out. At the end of the day, it's too much to take on 24/7. So during the week, I was in the rehearsal studio with a few lads that we just teamed up. You know, we got together, teamed up, and had a bit of a jam, blowing off the cobwebs. And you know, I haven't been jamming for a long time, so I'm very rusty. So more practice required. But one of the lads said, he said to me that he knows a band and they were going to audition a female singer. And before she turned up to do the audition, she demanded that all the band members wore a mask before she turned up to audition. I know what I would have done next. So, I wouldn't have put up with that whatsoever. You know, you have to wear a mask before she turns up for audition, yeah? That's a bit of a prima donna, I think. Okay, the other thing as well, I had Harry on there a couple of weeks ago. And if you haven't heard the interview, I recommend that you go and check it out, because I wanted to get Harry on the show and talk about structured water and the benefits of structured water. And if you look at the science of it, it's just unbelievable. It's really, really good. And of course, there's a video out there that is a lady. She's an immunologist. And basically what she does on the video, it's only like about 2 minutes long. And what she does is she takes a blood sample of a lady and puts it under a microscope. And the actual blood is not moving. It's very congealed and it's just, you know, doesn't look good at all. And she says that that's a sign of potential heart disease and other medical issues that might be coming down the line for this individual. So then she gives the lady a glass of structured water. And the lady drinks the structured water. And then 12 minutes later, she does a test again. She takes a blood sample, puts it under the microscope. Now the blood is all kind of separate and it's gone from being anaerobic to aerobic. So it's moving about. It has kind of electricity. The electricity is back in the blood. pH has changed. It's better. And it's carrying oxygen. And that's only in 12 minutes with the structured water. Because at the end of the day, if your blood is more fluid and not kind of congealed and it's moving about, then obviously it's going to be carrying more oxygen. And if you have more oxygen, it means you have more energy. And I've been taking the structured water. And I have noticed over the time I've started to take the structured water that I have a bit more energy, you know. So, and I'm just kind of bowled over by that little bit of more energy that I have is brilliant. So I do the structured water now. Now I have the little vortexer and basically I'm using that, but we'll see how we get on. I'm going to have to get Harry's vortex as well. Danny's trying to contact me there on Facebook at the moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a little musical break, okay? I'm going to see if I can hook up with Danny and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go. Sorry, short musical interlude there. Better late than never. Lastminute.com, we do have Danny online and ready to go. So I'll do a quick intro before we get Danny in. Danny is an independent researcher and author of Removing the Shackles blog, now RTS.earth. Homeschooling mother of four crazy kids and a mad life by the sound of it. Aromatherapist and creator of Gaia's Garden Organic Skincare and chief loony of a group called the Uneffers. Good evening, Danny. How are you?
I am awesome, darling. How are you doing?
Not too mad. Mad day for you today, I take it, huh?
Oh, crazy day. And I apologize to you and to all your listeners. I thought it was 8 o'clock we were going live. So I've been like tootling around, making dinner and oops.
Not to worry. You're here now anyway. And look, at the end of the day, I was just mentioning there before I got you on about the energies and everything happening on the planet. And I know that you've had your finger on the pulse regarding that. And you've been reporting this information on your website and letting your listeners and letting your people know about what's going on. So we might as well get into that, because we are over the last couple of weeks. It's been nuts. It's been mad. So what are you seeing?
Well, we've got how deep are we going to go and how fast do we have? So our sun I'm going to talk climate change for a split second here, but of course not man-made CO2 ridiculous climate change. We're going to talk about actual climate change, and we're going to talk about the sun. Our sun is kind of going really crazy at the moment. We have a lot of sunspots. We've had a lot of activity on the sun. Now, there has been a lull for the last 36 hours or so. But yeah, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, we have seen a huge amount of solar flares, a huge amount of CMEs, coronal mass ejections coming in and hitting the planet, solar winds, all kinds of cosmic ray activity. And people are feeling it, like really, really feeling it. Normally, because we're going into the solar maximum, normally we have our magnetic field, our geomagnetic field around Earth that protects us. It kind of acts like a force field, if you will. So when all the sun is blasting off, and not just the sun, but other stars as well, when they're blasting all kinds of cosmic rays and solar X-rays and gamma rays and all these things at us, our field, our magnetic field, keeps us protected. But our magnetic field is getting very, very weak right now. Extremely weak. And as it weakens, more of these energies are coming in and just pummeling the planet. And of course, that means it's pummeling us too.
Okay, and what's the end effect to all of this? Because I'm looking right across the board, and there's a lot of spiritual people tuning in. And again, I don't kind of go woo-woo, but, you know, that's just for a term of reference. People are talking about the energies changing, timelines shifting, you know, ascension symptoms, 5D, 3D, blah-de-blah-de-blah, the whole shebang. And if only one or two people were talking about that, I'd kind of go, yeah, okay. But actually, there's so many people out there talking about the same thing. What is going on? Are we in this kind of ascension time?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that one, hon. I really, really don't. I have looked at it from all points of view that I possibly can. You know me, I'm not one to pick narratives. I try my absolute best to not get caught up in narratives and storylines and belief structures, so that way when information comes to me, I can put everything on the table openly and analyze everything openly without twisting the facts or twisting the information to fit into one storyline. So yes, I mean, one storyline of this is that these are ascension symptoms, and we've got all these energies coming in that are interacting with us and literally changing us on multiple levels. Mm. Now, on the other side of that, because we have to talk about things, for example, the super, super woo-woo weirdness that's also going along. And that's why we do have conversations. You know, in my group, we talk about timelines and jumping timelines and switching timelines. And it's almost become a joke with us of like, oh, and what timeline did we wake up on today? You know?
Yeah.
That's another piece that I always keep on the table, because it is a very, you know, when you have the wild and crazy things happen in your own personal life, that shows you like, oh, we are not in Kansas anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
We have to be narrative.
Yeah. No, I hear that conversation as well. In the group that I'm in, we normally talk about that everything's on the table. Nothing is left off. We talk about everything. But there seems to be a mixed number of ideas regarding timelines. Some people will say that we're actually on one timeline now, that they've all merged into one. And other people will say that, oh, they have reduced down, but there's still a few timelines out there. So, you know, again, who do you believe?
It's English, right? Our problem is our language that we're using. And we, as English speakers, are using a language that is crippled to have these conversations. So we end up having to choose words, choose terminology, if you will, that is the best that we can do to try and relay an idea, to try and bring across a concept. We find ourselves using words, and the problem is because these words that we use are not very specific and are not clearly defined, therefore everyone has their own definition of what it means. In themselves, like in their own head, if you say timelines to one person, they see it as in those parallel timelines, et cetera, and they see it, for example, in the stories we talk about Looking Glass, Project Looking Glass, those multiple timelines that have been split out, all branching back down into one. But other people, when you say the word timelines, they're really not, that's not what they're talking about. They're almost talking about and here's another, of course, loaded buzzword, dimensions. Another reality. And now we're going into more of the multi-dimension kind of theories that, you know, like that there's innumerable dimensions and there's innumerable Dannys in every one of these dimensions and there's innumerable yous in every one. And that is what other people kind of consider. And that when we talk about jumping, it's not jumping timelines per se, a la Bill Brockbrader or Bill Wood from Project Looking Glass, the way he described it. But multiverse, we're talking about multiverse where it's as if we're skipping through the multiverse and there are changes and some of the changes are subtle from one to the next. Other times you have massive, huge things that come up and we call them, in my theory, we call them Mandela effects type thing. So it's a really difficult conversation to have because everyone has their own definitions of these words and we have a really limited language when we're trying to have these conversations.
Yeah, and I suppose your understanding of these concepts like timelines, the Mandela effect, etc., is based on your knowledge at the time, which could be different to somebody else who's probably 10 years further on down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that we perceive colors our reality. Everything we perceive within our reality colors our perceptions of our reality. If someone doesn't have, for example, someone who's never experienced a Mandela effect within their own personal life. So I'm not talking about, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. Life was a box of chocolates. I'm not talking about, you know, changes of logos or whether it's Sex in the City or Sex and the City, because that stuff really is unimportant. But if someone's never experienced one of these changes within their own personal life, then that's a concept of reality that they are not going to comprehend. So if you and I have a conversation and we're on that our perception of that is so radically different because you've experienced things I've never experienced. I've experienced things you've never experienced. So it gives you a different coloration to what your interpretation of the data is.
You know, I would also add to that not only when people give their opinion on something like a timeline or the Mandela effect, and their opinion is based on what they know at the time, I also would say that their belief systems affect how they perceive something as well.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. This is why, just using the Mandela effects as an example. In 2016, when all of a sudden the Lord's Prayer changed, there were a lot of people like myself who were into the woo-woo, who were analyzing this data saying, okay, this is a massive change. This is a bookmark change, if you will. Like we will always be able to define a certain shift that happened by that one change, because it was so huge a deal. You know, it wasn't just a line in a movie. It wasn't just like a logo. It was huge. Whereas people who, you know, especially down in the States, a lot of the Christian sect religions there, there was a lot of them who lost their minds. That was like, this is Satan. Satan's coming. This is the end of the world.
The rapture. Yeah.
This is the rapture. This is everything. Because of their way of looking at it, their way of taking in that information was, of course, going to be highly colored by their religious beliefs.
Yeah, totally. And now, what are you seeing on the ground? Obviously, you have your team that you speak to, and you know, you talk about everything that's going on. What are you seeing on a practical level? Because one of the things I said earlier on was the people are feeling certain effects. They're either sleeping too much, or they're not sleeping at all, or there's tinnitus, or there's headaches, or there's aches and pains, and within 2 days or a day, it's gone. So all these effects people are feeling, and you can turn around and say, right, practically, this is what's going on now. I can't, you know, obviously we're being told about CMEs and all that, and I know we look at the of the human frequency, but on a day-to-day level, what are you seeing with the people that you speak to?
Oh, same things that you're talking about. I mean, our conversations are regularly, oh, and how did you do this week? Did anyone sleep? Did you sleep? Or did you not wake up? I mean, sad to say, I don't mean to make it sound this way, but it's become a joke within my group of, like, we sit together and goes, like, who's got a neck ache? Who's got a headache? And we raise your hands. And we have a kind of a lot. What's the expression? I laugh that I may not cry. Sometimes you just have to laugh about some of this stuff. And the thing is we try to – I work with a couple of people. I work with a good friend of mine who's a homeopath. I've got a couple other people who are healers. And we continuously and have done for years analyze the symptoms. When we have a broad spectrum symptom comes up, for example, and bizarre things. You know, if everyone gets a cough, you go, okay, well, it's winter time and everyone's, you know, or it's allergy season. But when we get really specific symptoms, like all of a sudden everyone has got shoulder pain. And we look at that and go, okay, wait, what is the coincidental, you know, ratio of opportunity that everyone would all have, you know, or a large group of people would all have shoulder pain at the same time, or all of a sudden have knee problems, or all of a sudden have eyesight problems. So we have always gone through and analyzed the data, and you know, through the whole COVID crap, it was the same thing. Well, we had symptoms coming up that were, A, number one, we had symptoms that the mainstream was blaming on COVID, but my group had been discussing these symptoms since, you know, 2016, 2017. And then once the vaccination started rolling out, the alt media was talking about these symptoms as part of symptoms of the vaccine, right, as these are negative outcomes from the vaccine. But at the same time, my group's sitting there going, but we've talked about this specific symptom since 2017, openly talked about certain symptoms. So that's when we look and go, okay, so if we got to look at the energetic of it, i.e. we're looking at things for like the Schumann resonance. We look at things like what's going on with the sun. Now, interestingly, I've used an analogy for many years, at least since 2018, that when we look at the energies in the sun and its effect on the geomagnetic fields of Earth, and of course us, because we are electromagnetic beings ourselves, I've always said that it is very obvious that there's more going on than what we see. There's more going on than what we are measuring. We can measure the solar winds. We can measure the strength or weakness of the geomagnetic field. We can measure the geomagnetic storms. We can measure the X-rays and the gamma rays and all these things. But I think that we're missing a measuring stick. I think there's things coming in that we don't have a measuring stick for. And it's just interesting because about the last 4 weeks, there's been two different studies. This is mainstream scientific, you know, plasma physics, solar physics research. There's been two different studies that have talked about solar events with near simultaneous or instantaneous effects that are on happening on the planet, on Earth. And I sat there, I was like you going, oh my God, this is what I've been talking about, that there is other things coming in. It's not just these rays that we're told about, these energies we're told about. There is other effects coming in, because there are days when you can all of a sudden just get slammed sideways and you're exhausted. You know, all of a sudden you do that, well, I just want to put my head down on my desk and take a crash nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I can look back and look at the sun stuff, and all of a sudden you can say, oh, we had a solar flare right around then. Oh, well, it should take 2 days to reach us. Well, no, because there's very odd. It's been too many times that it's happened for it to be coincidental. There's something else. There's another band of energy, another band of frequency that is obviously hitting the planet nearly instantaneously when these events take place.
Well, back in 2004, I heard about the photon belt and that we would be going into the photon belt, so that would have a major effect on us. Now, I also, obviously we know about the Carrington effect in 1859, and we are overdue for another massive CME like that. Now, I know in 2012 we had a near miss. Are you thinking what I'm thinking, that this is, now that the sun is hyperactive, and this happens every 11 years, because being a radio guy, we know that when the sun gets very active, the propagation for radio gets very high, and you end up talking to everybody and anybody around the world on the sideband frequency. So that's something that we're familiar with in the radio side. But the Carrington effect, and the fact we're overdue, I mean, if that happened and that hit us, we'd be in major trouble, you know?
Well, I wasn't really going to go down this road, but we are long overdue. And there's a lot of people who take this information the wrong way, because they think of it as negative. They're like, oh my God, it's, you know, pardon the expression, it's fear porn. You're just saying all these terrible things. I watch and have watched for many, many, well over a decade, suspicious observers. Ben Davidson is continuously put out more and more accurate reports when it comes to solar physics and weather patterns. I consider him more probably one of the most knowledgeable people on the planet. And his reports about the last year, he has been vindicated in several things he's talked about for close on a decade. That scientists, you know, astrophysicists are now finally starting to catch up, and they're actually proving his point. He's more and more being able to say, this is what we've been talking about since 2015. We now have a scientific paper that basically proves everything that he'd been saying. Now, one of the things is that we are talking about a solar event, and these things run in cycles. And we are due. The cycle is up. We're all at the end of this cycle, and we're about to start another cycle. And when these cycles come through, there are devastating effects. And one of the big ones, of course, when we talk about these solar aspects, is a Carrington event. And if it is just a Carrington event, I will consider that a very lucky, lucky thing.
And the level of effect that will be, because it might not be a full-on Carrington effect. Could be just that. It might be high level, like satellites. Maybe the internet might go down. Maybe one or two transformers might get blown out. But let's just hope it's not a full-on Carrington effect.
In our day and age, if we had something just equal to the Carrington event, which, if your listeners don't know, it was a rather large solar flare that happened in 1859. And when it took, we didn't have electricity, really, back then, but we had telegraphs. And when the solar flare hit Earth, it burned the telegraph lines. They caught on fire. There was telegraphs catching on fire within the offices. And they were, even though the power went out to power the telegraphs, they were still receiving messages, because there was that much energy blasting through from this solar flare that came through. Now, take that amount, that effect, and put it in modern day Earth. Everything we do is electronic. Every car is powered or driven, if you will, by a computer. Every bank machine, every grocery store, every bank, obviously, everyone is so used to doing absolutely everything online and electronically, using electricity, using computer systems. An event like that will wipe out everything. It'll wipe out at least on, let's say, the sun-facing side. And I don't see how it cannot go around the planet, but even, let's say, even whatever side of the sun, whatever side of the Earth is facing the sun, there it'll be it. That will be it. There will be no cars running. If we're talking about an EMP of that magnitude, it's the kind of the stuff that, you know, people have been warning about for decades.
Okay, let's go back 11 years, or even, you know, 22 years. This cycle of the sun being hyperactive seems to be, you know, well and by far higher than any other cycle that we've had, which kind of is a bit worrying, because is that telling us that we are going to be in for something? Something is going to happen. I mean, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but let's get practical about it. If, yeah, as you say, the CME happens and the knocks out the ATMs and stuff like that, I mean, that's going to be a major issue for mankind anyway. So go back, as I say, 11 years, 22 years for these cycles with the sun being hyperactive. This scenario now that we're in this time seems to be a lot more serious. You know, I could go back 11 years and you probably would hear nothing about what's going on, or very little. But now it seems to be very prominent now that people are talking about it. And also, the other thing I'll just throw in there is there's a lot of talk about 2030. Now, you know, we could go into looking glass technology and all that kind of stuff. But fundamentally, what people have said on the internet is that 2030, there's going to be a major, major celestial event that will, that'll be it, end of. Now, it, does that mean that we'll all ascend or change frequency or turn into crystalline people? I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm just saying what people are saying on the internet. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm just, this is the general discussion that's going on.
For me, I have dipped my toes in those waters multiple times, especially in the last 12 years. But for me now, with everything that is going on, I have to be a realist. So when people talk about, oh, there's an event coming sometime in this future, you know, and it's very sometime out there on this, maybe this year, maybe that year, I came to a realization that I had spent a huge amount of my own time focusing on those kinds of things, that you're not in the here and now. Mm. And for me, I have gotten to that place of being a realist. I can spend massive amounts of time researching things like that, and I've just gotten to the point where I was like, I have to focus on my here and now. I have to focus on the craziness that we have in front of us. Mm. And I mean, I talk about this, you know, with the COVID stuff. And I, all the time when I get people and they post, send me links to videos about insane theories to do with COVID or COVID vaccines, etc. And I always say, you know, like, everything is crazy enough. We don't need to look for more crazy.
Yeah, no.
We really don't need to look for anything any crazier. All we have to, just sticking to the bare facts that we know is already insane, what we've seen. We don't need to dabble down conspiracy theories and what ifs. We can literally just look at the facts and know that this is all absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Well, the day-to-day stuff is mad in itself without adding everything else on top. And we're just, a lot of people are just struggling to get by in day-to-day without even looking at that stuff. The other thing I just want to throw in there, and it was mentioned by Liam, and he said Liam and his wife are actually experiencing vivid dreams as well. And I think some people are also experiencing that.
Yeah. In our group, we've talked about it multiple times. Not so much this week, but last week I had some crazy dreams that were very vivid. Like, you know, where you can actually come out of it feeling the textures from the dream and smelling the smells. It's that vivid. And those things, strangely, they come and go. And that's... I look at, you know, I go all scientific sometimes and look at the, you know, okay, well, is it something to do with the circadian rhythms? Is it something to do with melatonin levels, which of course are directly related to vitamin D, which is directly related to the sun? So I go and I try and look at all these different pieces. The reality, we don't have an answer, right? Like, why is it that all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of people having dreams about water all at once? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those wild questions. You throw everything on the table and just try and analyze it and go through it and say, well, I don't know. Let's figure it out.
Well, what's great is when you're involved in a group and everybody can have a chat and are open-minded to talking about everything. You know, that is a big help. And, you know, there's a group that I hook up with every Tuesday and we have that kind of discussion as well with everything that's going on, which is really good. But I will say, changing the subject slightly, the last time that I had you on the show was 2019, before all the COVID fiasco. So how did you get on? I mean, what, give us your take on it, and from a day-to-day perspective.
God. I just, one foot in front of the other. Literally, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and going, wow, okay, wow. I've given up on even trying to analyze some of the stuff, because you just, it's so crazy that we've reached a level of insanity that my husband reads me the news headlines in the morning. We get up in the morning, we have a coffee and a cigarette outside, and he'll go pull out his phone and go, well, let's talk about what's going on this day. And the headlines are just beyond anything we could possibly have imagined, even just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If like the things that we've seen play out and are watching play out even now are beyond anything we could have fathomed. Even the deepest, darkest conspiracy theorist out there is quaking in their boots now going, I've talked about this stuff, but I never thought it would get like this. This is crazy.
It was just amazing that, as you say, we've been talking about this for so many years, and people would just say, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. This would never happen. They do not want to inject us and make vaccines mandatory. And I just couldn't believe how people were so acquiescent to just doing what they were told.
I know. I still shake my head. I still shake my head. But to change topic, not, but yes, you talked about groups. I would like to throw something out there, if you don't mind. And that's where my passion is right now. And where I think more people need to be focusing on, instead of trying to dig up the dirt on vaccines and trying to work out who did what to who, where, when, why, and how, community.
Yeah.
You talked about, you've got your group, I've got my group. But while we have online groups, I think it is vitally important right now, especially given the insanity we're seeing in every country, that we start working on building boots on the ground communities around us, local communities, and reaching out and networking. And I work with there's one local group here in England that I've gotten really, really, really involved with. And we're organizing an event that's coming up in the next couple of weeks called the Meeting of Minds. And basically pulling in all these groups. So all these freedom groups, all these sovereignty groups, all these free man on the land groups, all the groups that are dealing with organic growing of food, groups who are talking about legal aspects of how to disengage from the system, people who are talking about the scientific type of stuff, health groups, etc., and bringing them all together. And I think that right now the most vital piece that we have in front of us is that bringing together of communities. Mm. I mean, it's always been important, and you know me, I've talked about this for ages, but we're now at a time where it's now vitally important that we start building boots on the ground communities of like-minded people. And it doesn't mean that everyone's going to believe the same thing, right? You're never going to find a whole group of people who believe exactly like you do.
Yeah.
But if you can start pulling together communities with, there are people who are awake. Mm. and start working together.
I think you have to find common ground, because otherwise egos get involved and egos destroy everything. They really do. So, you know, if you turn around and you had two common groups and you just said, look, you know, let's find where the common ground is between the two of us and let's just focus on that. It's one way to try and eliminate the whole ego thing getting involved.
Well, if we can agree on what we don't want, I've kind of said this since 2015. When you try to ask people, what do you want? Like if you're talking about you're going to manifest into the future, or what intent you want to set for the future, it becomes, you know, what's available, right? Like it's great to say, I want to have pink ponies that fly through the sky. But if that's not something that's feasible, then I don't want to be wasting my energy. We all have different views, and it's structured around beliefs and religion, and it's structured around different narratives. People have different ideas of what they want to see in the future, which makes it difficult when you're trying to unite people. But if instead we flip it and be, instead of looking at what we do want, let us just agree on what we don't want. Mm. Right? So, like, we don't want these mandatory vaccines. Mm. We don't want mandatory lockdowns and vaccine passports. We don't want, and if we can start that, I think almost all these various groups can come to a very simple understanding of a few basic points of what we don't want anymore. What we don't want. This is a base point where we can actually work together.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. And again, as you say, trying to get groups together is difficult, you know, so I'll take my hat off to you if you're trying to do that and get people together. But we're now in the time that we have to do it, because if things happen regarding, you know, solar flares or CMEs and we, you know, the system does grind to a halt, I think it's important that we need to have a backup plan. Now, I don't know whether you know, Danny, but I set up a website called barteringireland.com. And
nice.
Barteringireland.com is basically anybody who produces food or has eggs, chickens and all that kind of stuff, and are willing to barter not just money but time, energy or whatever. They can register on that, and then once they register on that, when the site goes live, because we're just building the database at the moment of people, but all they have to do is register and you get on the system, and we have it broken down into on a per county basis. So that means that if people want to find out what's in their county, what's available, and who's going to barter and who's going to deal. Because if the big supermarket shut down or there is an issue, where are you going to get the food? We've had this. I mean, our distant relatives back in 1859 lived off the land. So it was no real big deal, you know, and we didn't rely on electronics and all that. But nowadays, can you imagine the woke people today, what they'd be like?
Oh, I know. And those food shortages are coming, regardless of what we're seeing on the sun, on multiple levels, regardless of a Carrington event. We're looking at global food shortages right now, whether they're being politically created by, you know, the powers that be, the controllers, whatever you want to call that. It is very obvious that there is something going on that is looking like it's leading directly into food shortages. If we look at the natural disasters, i.e. the floods and the droughts, just to name two things, we have had in the last few years so many food bowl centers of the planet, if you will, get wiped out by hailstorms, get wiped out by floods or by massive droughts, etc. It is very obvious to me, and to anyone, I think, who's really paying attention to what's going on around us, that things are not looking good right now. Mm. And I mean, now you know me. I'm a prepper. I have been a prepper for 20 years.
Yeah.
But more so than, you know, hoarding food or anything like that, what people need is community. And that leads me right back to my first statement, right? We need community, because if, pardon the expression, if the shit hits the fan, the only way we're all going to work through it is to pull together. And that means you have to do it now. Like, we can't wait until these things happen. Yeah. And I talk all the time. Gardening is one of my passions, right? I love gardening. And I've been talking for 2 years saying to people, you need, if you've never gardened, you need to start learning how to garden. And it's no use waiting until a food shortage happens, because that's too late. You need to know how to do these things, like, early enough that so when or if one of these things takes place, you're already capable. You already have, you have the knowledge, you have, you know, the seeds that you need, et cetera, to be able to look after your family, your community, et cetera. Knowledge is key. And that's my number one thing I talk about all the time. Knowledge is key. When we have knowledge, we don't fear.
Yeah, totally.
If you know what you're doing, then you're not going to get caught into that fear spiral, because that comes, in my opinion, it comes from that panic. It comes from, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Whereas if we have already gained knowledge, so you and I have talked about radio communications, right? Mm. The group that I'm working with here, that's what they're working on right now. They're working on setting up radio communications. And already within the group, the difference in 6 months from being, oh my God, what do we do if the internet goes down and the phone lines go down? Oh my God. To now they're like, yeah, no, we've already worked it out that everyone knows who's got a radio already. So, you know, if the electricity goes, the internet goes down, you know, we all know to hook up with someone who's in their close immediate neighborhood, and the radio will be able to radio back and forth. There's no fear anymore.
Yeah, I find that...
On that one aspect, there's no fear anymore, because they're like, oh, no problem, we got that covered.
I find that when you are prepped, as best as you can, that lets you relax a little bit, because you know you're prepped to a certain extent. But also, you have to keep in mind, and it was John Irwin that said, your enemy or your problem is not the government or the politicians. The problem is your next door neighbor, because they're the people who are not prepped, and they'll panic, and they'll kick down your door. And this is why having a community rather than being on your own, it's better, because then you get organized, and you have a level of protection with a community, because there are kind of marauding gangs that might end up, you know, going from one place to another looking for stuff. And if you have an organized community, and this is where communications come in as well, then you have a level of protection being in the group to a certain extent. And so there's no point being on your own. I think you have to try and get in a group as best you can of like-minded people. Let's hope that this doesn't happen.
But, oh, exactly.
You know, but look, as my brother-in-law used to always say, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Exactly.
You know,
and this is, that's my number one piece. And when I talk about that difference of, we can continuously look to the future and be like, what if, what if, what if? But for me, I have to live in the now. I have a family. I need to look after my family. So I have to live in the now, because if we start worrying about something that might happen in the future, if I have my shit together now, then I can face whatever comes at us in the future without having to get worked up and become afraid or get stressed out by it. Just knowing that, like, no, I've got my stuff together. I know what I'm doing. I know how to look after my family. And that takes a huge weight off, like a massive weight off.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that I'm doing at the moment, although I did it a few years ago, myself and Steve did it a few years ago on OAM, we built solar generators, but the batteries were not the best. That was a few years ago. They died, you know, they weren't really great. So I've built a frame for two solar panels to do some proper solar work, charging and stuff like that for new batteries, which will be coming in. And again, part of the prepping, part of the backup, to have some backup power just in case things go down, you know, all that needs to be done. And again, a lot of this costs money. I know some people don't have the money, and it is tight. Lucky enough, I've had a couple of donations from people who's been really helpful and said, look, I have a couple of days, you can have them for nothing, which is great. So a big thank you to them people who are, you know, supporting me for doing this project. But we do have a couple of questions coming in. So I'm going to go over to the questions. If you do have a question for Danny, put Q or question at the start of it so I can see it on the chat room, folks. So we'll kick off with the questions we have here. P Peter, all the way down in Australia. Good evening, Peter, or good morning, Peter, to you. Question is there anything you can tell us about the planetary alignment with Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn? The last one was in 947 AD. The next will be in 2492.
Oh, you know what, Peter? That is a really good question, and it's the same question I keep asking as well. I have an astrology group that I work with very closely. They're all good friends. And basically, when you talk about electric universe theory, that's astrology. They are synonymous with each other in some ways. And I've been asking them, and that's, I don't have an answer for that one. I wish I did. I know that when we talk about planetary alignments like that, could that be part of the absolutely crazy energies from the last few days? Absolutely, it could be. Absolutely. As to what it means, I just don't know. And honestly, I've had such a crazy weekend. I even haven't even had a chance to really go and investigate. I actually wanted to go back and look at the last dates and do an analysis around those dates to see what kinds of things took place the last time this event happened. And I haven't had a chance to do that yet, though.
Okay. And there has been an alignment of planets. And I think it's the last time it happened was 1,000 years ago, which is obviously what Peter's talking about.
Yep.
And if you look out on the clear sky, I'm pretty sure I seen them when I looked out the other night, and they're all kind of in a line near enough, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So something's definitely going on. Okay, another question from Peter, and he wants to know, when you say a mantra while in bed, is it best to say it out loud or say it in your mind? Which is most effective?
Oh, I have no idea. Whatever works for you.
I would, can I jump in here? I would actually say, Peter, say it out loud. I would say it out loud rather than in your mind, because it's like you're affirming it by saying it when you hear it, you know, when you speak it. It's more of an affirmation, I think. That's just my take on it.
Yep. I think that's a personal thing for every person. I would definitely not have an answer for that one.
Yeah, I've heard a few spiritual people talk about this and doing this. Now, some people will say, write down what you want, you know, so you can see it in writing. Other people say, yeah, if you want to speak it out rather than just say it in your mind. So everybody, you know, different strokes for different folks. But look, if you can say it out loud, just don't say it if you're in church or at a checkout. Or something where you shouldn't be saying it, because you might think you're mad. You might think, hey, that guy's a conspiracy theorist. Okay, next one is from Joan. And Joan wants to know, does Danny believe that HAARP are playing their part in controlling the weather to create food shortages to depopulate the planet?
The short answer to that is no. My opinion on this one, and it's not supported by anything other than my gut, is these guys who run HAARP and CERN and all of these things, they only wish they had the power to do the things that are happening on the planet right now. And I think that a lot of times within the alt media, there are clever ideas that are planted. And there's a subtlety there that if we can continuously blame everything on something else. So if we can blame the weather on HAARP, or blame it on chemtrails, and if we can blame certain physical symptoms on 5G, if we can blame certain fires on dew weapons, if we see this push, there's a psychological flip that happens. Because if a man-made agency device such as HAARP or CERN, if it's causing a problem, then psychologically we immediately go, okay, well, if they screwed this up, then they also have the power to fix it. All we have to do is take them out of the question, right? Take them out of the equation, and then everything will go back to everything that was all beautiful and wonderful and normal, and we don't have to worry about it. And I think it's been deliberately planted into the alt media, because if we don't have someone to blame, i.e. earthbound, whether it's a nefarious alphabet agency or, you know, some bad guy in a seat of power, then we have to start looking outwards. And when people start to realize, for example, that the reason this, the weather is changing is because we are going through a solar system-wide climate change because of our sun, we have no power then. And we know that there's no one out there. There's no government agency. There's no carbon tax that is going to fix this. It puts people in a place of fear because if you blame a human, then they broke it, they can fix it. But when you realize it's something that's the sun and there is nothing we can do about the sun and that it is solar system wide, it's not just Earth, it's all the other planets as well, that puts a lot of people into a fear place. They, even the bad guy, if you want the controllers, they don't want us looking at that. They don't want us understanding what's going on. They would rather you blamed them, because then they can call you a crazy conspiracy theorist, than to actually start talking about the science and with the solar stuff, especially when we talk about weather.
You know, I always look at these movies like 2012, for example, where the Indian chap finds out what's going on with the core of the earth and everything else, and he's ringing up the White House or another chap in the White House and saying, look, you know, this is going on, people need to know what's going on, and there's obviously the cover-up and stuff like that. So normally you'll have the elites flying off to their underground bases or wherever the bunkers are and telling everybody, yeah, you're fine, everything's fine, it's no problem at all. But yeah, they're probably, you know, heading off to their, you know, the bunkers. It's like any corporate company, any board of directors, when the company's going to go bang, they're formulating their escape exit, but telling everybody else that everything is fine.
Absolutely.
So we have to be kind of weary of that and be aware. But again, preparation is kind of part of the game, all right. I just want to go another question for you here from Liam. He says, in the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951, which is the old black and white one, do you think there is any significance in CMEs of today where they're telling us something back then?
You know what? That's an interesting one, because The Day the Earth Stood Still, you have to understand that was a movie, but it was a far older book, right?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of really old books out there, especially if you look at, for example, Jules Verne's books, that I've gone back and reread some of this and gone like, oh, this guy knew some shit. Like, he knew some stuff and he wrote it as fiction, but there is very much pieces in his books. Most of them were written in the late 1800s. They're extremely relevant, they feel. And I've talked to, there's multiple authors out there who have, Robert Heinlein, who's one of my favorite authors, who died in 1986. I've always said, like, he's not from around here. And like he, some of the stuff that he wrote about was so, shall we say, prescient in a way that, so there's pieces that come forward. And I mean, I think an aspect of that is consciousness too, that when an idea comes forward, whether it's through art, through literature, even through music, when an idea needs to come out, it comes out however it will come out. And if you don't speak it, someone else will. Mm. And if you don't write it, someone else will, because the idea has to come out. And I think that's kind of one of the ways that consciousness works. So when we see movies like that with The Day the Earth Stood Still and a number of other books that are on similar topics, are they relevant? Yes, they could very well be relevant. They could very well be relevant. It's one of those pieces that I keep on the table.
Well, my understanding on The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951, and I could be wrong with this, but apparently because they knew after the radio play Orson Welles did in 1933, War of the Worlds, that was kind of the OSO before the CIA, and it was supposed to be a psychological experiment to see if people were ready, and they weren't. So they start using Hollywood as a means to try and educate, and apparently...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, 1951 was the first movie, I think, financed by the military or financed by somebody outside to actually start the ball rolling as part of to raise the consciousness on the planet for people to be aware. So when they come out and
certain
say something,
subjects, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when they turn around and say, by the way, we found life, blah, 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 and we've seen this in the newspapers, oh, there's life on other planets and stuff, you know, they might find a rock or an amoeba or something, you know, and they're testing the water to see what people would yeah. say. And I think if you ask most people, I won't say everybody, but if you ask most people and you say to them, do you believe there's life on other planets? I'd like to think most people would say, well, there has to be. We can't be the only planet in the universe with life on it.
Well, I've been talking about this nonstop for the last 3 years because I used to do my news show. I used to do Transpicuous News, and I used to do what twice a week news outlet. And I got to the point of like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't spend this much of my time analyzing the crazy people. But I keep my ear to the ground and I keep an eye on certain topics. Because we know that topics are repeated. They, the quintessential there, they, in air quotes, they drop a piece into the media. And then they sit back and watch how the public takes it. And then they kind of pull back, and then maybe a couple of years later, they'll drop the exact same piece again, but they'll just change it slightly. Like the wording will be a little different, the idea behind it, and they watch. So the alien aspect, since 2019, it has been non-stop alien disclosure stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Non-stop. And from different places that a lot of people weren't looking, because everyone expects when they talk about, oh, we wanted full disclosure, they're expecting to see the President of the United States step up to the podium and announce to the public, we've been contacted by people from outer space. Boom. That's not it. We've been having non-stop disclosure for at least 3 full years at a crazy level with, you know, interviews, Joe Rogan's interviews. Well, you can sit and say, oh, well, Joe Rogan's just, you know, like he's an actor, he's a comedian, et cetera. Yeah, but he also has hundreds of millions of viewers. And he's watched all around the world from people from all backgrounds, et cetera. So if you want to drop that drop of information into the consciousness of humanity to watch the reaction, you do it on a show like Joe Rogan's. Mm. And you have, you know, Commander Fravor, who came out and talked about the UFOs. And, you know, this is a man who's got an impeccable military background, who is still currently serving, who got permission from the Pentagon to go on the show and talk about this. That's not a fluke, right? Like that's not just a, oh, look at this, isn't that interesting? We've had non-stop and news articles continuously coming out with little bits and pieces on a weekly basis. If you're watching science papers on a weekly basis, talking about radio signals from outer space, talking about new theories of alien, you know, that are out there, there are humans across the universe. It is inundating our consciousness of the, and by ours, I mean, you know, the general public. So that when something happens, when they decide they're ready to tell the public, everyone will already be, well, yeah, duh, of course.
Yeah.
Because we've been overwhelmed with this information for years now.
It's hopefully getting into the psyche. I've noticed this. As you say, the last few years on Sky TV, on the Freeview Sky, because you don't, if you get the Freeview, you don't get access to the pay channels, but you can see what the channel listings are. And if you go over there at any time, you'll always find either programs got to do with Roswell, UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, paranormal. I mean, you yep. name it there. It's just, you know, I've never seen it, so much of it as I see it these days. And it's like somebody's pressed a button and said, look, start letting people know about this. Let's start conditioning these people, yep. get them used to it.
Yep. The question I've continuously asked over and over since about 2015 is, what do they know is coming? And they being, you know, in air quotes, they, the controllers, the, you know, what do they know is coming? And when I look at events that have played out, from, you know, from look at this whole COVID pandemic thing and the way it rolled out. I kept saying, what do they know is coming that it's going to make this all a moot point? Mm. Because the illegalities of what these companies, Freudian slip, countries are perpetrating on their people. That Canada is insane. You know, I'm Canadian and I look at what's going on in Canada right now, jaw on the floor, thanking my lucky stars that we left when we did.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine being trapped in Canada right now. When we see the things that they're doing that are so grossly illegal that they can't possibly think they're going to get away with them. The question comes up again, what do they know is coming that makes everything they've done a moot point, that it will be like just washed away. It'll be like so unimportant in the greater scheme of things. And that question just, it plays in my mind continuously.
Well, we have to think about Project Bluebeam. I'm not saying that it's off the table, but
it's not off the table.
You know, it could be that, you know, this is why you wanted to roll out 5G. As you probably know, Danny, as soon as we had COVID come in the March, April, there was a global rollout of 5G. So the engineers were out there. So COVID with this deadly virus going around, but the engineers were out installing 5G on a global scale, not just in the UK, Ireland, but on a global scale. Quite convenient, that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, okay? And I'm going to argue with this narrative because the 5G narrative really bugs me. I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with the statement, 5G is bad. It's bad for our health. We know this. 3G is bad for our health, so is 4G. We already know, yes, it is bad. But it is another, in my opinion, it is another one of those things that everyone is pointing to that is man-made. And then the statement that you've just said, right, because I've seen that come out a lot in the last 2 months, that in 2020 they rolled it out across the world. No, that's not true. Rome has had 5G for a couple of years. London has had 5G for a couple of years. New York City has had 5G for a couple of years. There are places on the planet, we know for a fact, that they ran a whole 5G experiment in Romania, in Bucharest, in December of 2018. So when the storyline gets twisted, right, to be all of a sudden, oh, they've started 5G up, now everyone's got sick with this COVID, and it's all being twisted. I'm like, no, that's not accurate. We know, for example, we had people screaming about that it was 5G back in April of 2020. In April of 2020, I had just left Malta and I had people saying, oh, it's the cause by 5G. I'm like, I live in Malta and there is not a 5G tower within 700 miles of Malta. So no, the causes of the symptoms have nothing to do with 5G because Malta still to this day doesn't have 5G. Yet they had just as much infection, just as many symptoms and side effects from all the other insanities that's been playing out. We can't blame it on 5G. Is 5G exacerbating symptoms? Oh, it probably is. Is it causing a lot of physical and mental harm for a lot of people? I have no doubt. But when we talk about the COVID thing, this was clear, like there was a whole pile of us discussing it in early 2020 when people were screaming it was all 5G, it is not COVID. We were saying, yeah, that doesn't work because there is no 5G in these areas where we're talking about. And people tried to point to the infection rates in Italy when Italy started up in February and March of 2020. They were saying, oh, Milan has got 5G. I said, yes, they do, but so does Rome, and Rome has no infections. So we can't. It's too easy to make broad sweeping statements, but we have to, for myself, I have to pull back and look at the facts, and I will always go through and dig the information out. Is there 5G going? Do we have evidence of this? No, we don't. Then you know what? We can't make an absolute statement like that.
Okay. Well, what do you think the graphene oxide in the vaccine is all about?
I am not entirely sold on that either. Honestly, I'm not entirely sold. I've seen some stuff on it. I have seen some lab work that shows doctors out of Germany specifically have shown a lot of very, very interesting film footage that there is very obviously something in the blood that is not acting normal when they're looking at it under high power electron microscopes. I am not convinced that it's graphene oxide. You know, there is definitely something there. There is absolutely 100% something there. But I'm not convinced on the graphene oxide. And I may be totally wrong on that. It could turn out that I'm totally wrong. But for the moment, when I've looked at all the evidence and the various statements that have been made by certain scientists, some things don't add up.
Well, the caveat is just to say that, look, what I know now is this, but tomorrow you might know something different because new information exactly. might come in.
Exactly. And that's why we have to maintain an open mind. If we maintain an open mind, i.e., we're not making an absolute decision on something. Because if I make an absolute decision on the graphene oxide that either A, yes, it's true, or B, no, it's not true, at some way psychologically you have made a decision, therefore you are not necessarily going to be open to new information.
Yeah.
So I try to maintain a place of like, I'm not going to make a decision on this because I don't have enough information and I want to be open to the information as it becomes available to me.
Yeah. And what do you think this documentary that's been going around regarding the idea that the snake venom...
Oh, don't. Oh, please don't. Oh, please, no.
Well, it has to be said. I mean, it's out there. And, you know, I mean, it's quite convincing what they're talking about and how they do it. But I'm not a medical doctor and I wasn't involved in it. So I can only go by what I'm seeing, like most people.
It is, and again, I'm going to say, in my opinion, a great big steaming pile of bullshit. Pardon my language. The author, now I will also, as a caveat to the say, I have only watched the first one, the Stu Peters. I tried to watch another interview with on what's the Steel Channel? Is it David Steele? I can't remember his name. There was a woman interviewing the same doctor as well. I got maybe 5 minutes into that and I had to turn it off because it was just like, I know. The doctor in question is not a medical... Okay, let me rephrase that because I don't want to offend anyone. He is not a traditionally lab-trained scientific doctor in the fact that he's a chiropractor. Mm. To the best of my knowledge, he's a chiropractor.
Yeah.
The information he puts forward, and I'm going to use the Stu Peters interview as an example because, like I said, that's the only one I actually watched. The information that he put forward was very much cherry-picking data to support his narrative. So when he presents it in such a way of pieces of facts, as he would call them, well, snake venom does this, and this is what we saw as some of the symptoms. And snake venom does that, and this is what we saw with some of the symptoms. Yes, you can look at it, and you can cherry-pick through the data to support that narrative. But snake venom isn't the only thing that causes those symptoms, right? So one of the things he talked about was the internal organs and internal organ failure, etc. Well, there's a lot of things that cause that. Literally, there's a lot. There are diseases. You could have just as easily he could have said it's Ebola. It's Ebola. That's what they've put Ebola into the biological weaponization program and. And that's why these things, that's how kind of crazy it is. So when people, I read, you know me, I research the hell out of everything. And I read probably 10, 20 medical research papers a week, at least, on various topics because I'm always researching. So it's very easy for someone to say, this causes this. And then you can go look it up and go, oh, hey, look at that. King Cobra venom does cause that. But again, like, you know, now, and I've heard since that it was Stu Peters' hold to try and twist it into the water aspect, like it's in your water, which is so far from ludicrous. I can't even begin to. There are people who literally go to bars in Taiwan and Hong Kong where they play exorbitant amount of money to drink King Cobra venom, to drink scorpion venom. Like they literally do. And if you don't have a cut in your mouth, it doesn't do anything because it hits your stomach and your body and stomach's acids neutralize it. Like these, so it all sounds very good when someone cherry picks pieces of information and goes, well, this and this and this are caused by snake venom. But they're not telling you, is it, but these symptoms are also caused by X, Y, Z, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And that's the way it is. And some of the points that are erased, completely and utterly erased, are really important. And that is, for example, the autoimmune disorders that are coming out and the AIDS testing. The AIDS virus coming out. We had the doctor, the scientist, and this is the scientist, the doctor, who won the Nobel Prize in biology for his work on the AIDS virus. Like, when we talk about expert testimony, there's no one higher than this guy on the planet. There's no one higher than this guy. His word is that impeccable. Yeah. When he comes out on national television in France in June of 2020 and says, we've looked at the virus. I've looked at the virus. The virus particles are showing symptoms of AIDS. There are pieces of AIDS. It cannot have been made. It cannot be a natural thing. There is 100% no possible way that this virus is come from nature. It has to have been reproduced and put together in a lab. This was on national French television, mainstream news.
Wow.
Okay. When you throw the AIDS, the AIDS piece in there, and that is, again, in Australia, when they tried to test their own vaccine, what happened? Everyone in the first test subjects all tested positive for AIDS.
That's funny you should say that, because somebody said to me, they heard about, either they went or somebody they know went to get a blood test, and the nurse or the doctor recommended that they get tested for AIDS, and the person said, oh, well, I'm not vaccinated. And then the doctor said, well, that's okay then, you don't need to get tested for that.
Exactly. So when we look at these, were very, very vitally important pieces that kind of got swept under the carpet in a lot of ways by a lot of crazy other theories and hypotheses that were dropped into the alt media that just seemed to make everyone forget about them. The AIDS one is a very, very important one because we are seeing the evidence of it. One of the other pieces that was fundamental, and I went like a bulldog after this in researching in early 2020, there were several doctors who were mountain climbers themselves. And they talked about that the symptoms they were seeing in patients who were being admitted with COVID was like high altitude sickness. And that is that their blood was not bonding to the oxygen molecules. And therefore they were breathing like trying to get air in, and they were breathing clearly. They had no obstruction. Their lungs were working absolutely fine. But because the oxygen in their was not attaching to the red blood cells in their blood, into the hemoglobin, they were literally gasping for air, because it didn't matter how much air they were taking in, their blood was not getting enough oxygen. This is another one of those pieces that has been discussed by a few doctors over time, and even Dr. McCullough actually brought it up at one point in time very early on in his testimonies. That doesn't fit in with certain narratives that we've been tossed out, you know, one of them being this whole snake venom. So that's my thing, is I have to keep an open mind and look at things like we can't be caught up in that narratives, because it's a distraction. What are they distracting us from this time?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they always like doing the sleight of hand, don't they?
Exactly.
So we have to be careful with that. Okay, another couple of questions for you. Joan wants to know, so why did they run the experiment in Romania if not for some agenda that we don't know the outcome of yet?
Oh, well, I can tell you exactly why, because I had a good friend who is very high up, very well known in Romania, well known enough to be able to ask questions and people to answer them. And she was having an internet problem. And the internet problem was really bizarre, what she was having the problem with. So it ended up, she was able to climb up the ladder of the chain of command, if you will, as she was sorting it out. And she got chatting with the guy who was like the general manager for Bucharest. And they were just chatting. And now she's very, very awake. So she said to him, oh, so, you know, like, I hear that we're going to be getting some 5G soon. Like, what is that, next year? And he was like, no, we've already got 5G. She was like, what? Oh, yeah. He said, we had to run the test because we didn't know the power systems would, like the transformers and the power systems would actually be able to run 5G. And he said, the first time we turned it on, we blew up everything. We ended up having to lay all new lines, communication lines, internet lines, everything. Like, the 5G just wouldn't work. And he said they knew it was vitally important to do the test in Bucharest, because Bucharest was of an age, of a city. The infrastructure of the city was kind of a good indicator for a lot of cities in Europe. So they tested it in Bucharest to see if the actual systems could carry the 5G, and they learned very quickly that it couldn't. And they had to rebuild everything, and then they just continuously kept testing it for the entire year.
Right, okay, there you go, John. I hope that answers your question there. I have another question from Don. What scientist does Danny look at for truth and knowledge?
Ha ha. Private ones that don't work for any corporations. Ones who don't work for the pharmacist, for Big Pharma, or I'm being sarcastic there, but quite literally, I go through and I read everything. I read everything. When it comes to solar stuff, I follow Suspicious Observers, Ben Davidson, quite a lot, because even if I don't agree with necessarily his conclusion on a certain fact, he always posts the backup. So when he talks about this study, and this study, he posts those studies so that you, and it encourages people to know, you go read the study, and what do you think of it? So as far as scientists go, I will follow the work of people. I will look at what they've done. I'll look at what they write. I'll take into consideration that, of course, everyone's got their own bias. So you get scientists who put up really good pieces of paper on different studies that you could say, this is absolutely phenomenal, but this guy did not take into account solar geomagnetics, for example, when he's talking about a biology question, or he's not taking into account 5G when he's talking about electrical questions, you know, electrical magnetics things. So I basically read everything and then just try and put it all, the puzzle pieces all together from there, the best that I can. And I have, you know, I've got a lot of people that I talk to. So we throw ideas around and we put all things on the table and we kind of dissect them and try and look at things and what's been hit, what's been missed, where there could be errors, where there's really good points that we hadn't thought of before.
Very good. Very good. Tell me something on a positive note with the whole COVID thing, because I haven't spoken to you since really 2019. do you feel that this was maybe on a higher level part of the global awakening for people? Are you seeing people around you now? I'm sure you had issues like everybody else. We all did, with fallout, family and everything else, for people who were in the matrix. But generally speaking, are you seeing an awful lot of people now kind of awake as to what's going on?
Absolutely. I think it is. I kind of joking, say that if they, again, the quintessential air quotes, they thought that they could roll this whole last 2 years out and not come out of it unscathed, they were just crazy wrong, because the amount of people who've woken up, the group that I work with in the UK, there's a huge amount of them who woke up because of this, just what they've seen in the last 2 years. The amount of people who I've met who've literally woken up because of this, it was the final, you know, that last straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
You have niggling doubts in the back of your head, niggling doubts, but you just ignore them because you're busy and life is crazy and, you know, and then something like this happens. And it blew the minds of a lot of people wide open.
Well, it pushed people out of their comfort zone, because of what went on. And that is the best catalyst of all, because we've all been through the awakening. I was speaking to somebody during the week about this, and everybody who does wake up, there's always a trigger or something, whether it's a loss of a job, a loss of a person, a sickness, or there's something that is the trigger, the catalyst that pushes people outside their comfort zone, and then they start looking at things. And I think COVID was a big game changer.
I think it was. And in some very positive ways too, like in, I talked about this a lot over the last 2 years, there were some positive things that came out of all these lockdowns too. Like there was a big movement because people were locked down. For example, people learning to homeschool their kids. And there was a lot of people who would never have considered homeschooling, never would have thought that they'd have been able to have homeschooled. They didn't feel qualified. They weren't comfortable. Who were then forced into it to go, oh, you know what? I kind of like this. Oh, my kids like this. I like this. This has been amazing. We really enjoy this. Another one is gardening, of all things. The amount of people who took up gardening in England during the first lockdown was crazy. And I've met so many people who've said to me, I've never done so much as planted a single seed before in my life, and now I'm completely addicted. All I want to do is be out in my garden, enjoying everything about it. I don't want to gossip about TV shows. I want to talk to my gardening groups. I want to learn all about this and that. So there was some really spectacular, and the other big one, I mean, this is huge in my opinion, is it because all the hospitals kind of closed down, you know, no one would go to the hospital, all the doctor's office closes. There's a lot of people out there who got sick who couldn't go to the doctor or to the hospital, who couldn't rely on someone else to tell them what to do, who then took the steps to do their own research and come up with natural things that they could do to help treat their symptoms, to help treat their sicknesses. And that was a real wake up for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have had so many messages from people on that, that never thought that they could cure their own skin cancer. And voila, they did. And without seeing a doctor.
Yeah.
It's a mind shaking thing, right? Like that opens up your head huge.
Yeah. And of course, what the fact that they're woken up now, hopefully they'll keep on pursuing information and do the research and look into it. And I think from a deep state point of view, I think they just had an own goal with COVID.
I joke about it quite often on the show and be like, they're stupid. Like these, like one of my good friends who's on my weekly show, who is an actual professional comedian, he says, you know, we live in a world that's a circus that's run by lunatics, literally by lunatics. Because when you watch how they've played things out, you go like, how did they think they were going to get away with that? How did they think they were going to? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people who've bought into the programming, who've totally bought into the narrative, et cetera, who are still towing the line, if you will. But with every act, with every new show of force that these governments have done, they just wake up more and more people.
Exactly.
And you have to laugh. Like, you literally, I'm just like, I joked with a good friend of mine, the whole question of like the whole Agenda 2020, oh, they're trying to kill us. And I was like, well, you know what? A, they're doing a real shit job if they're trying to kill us all, because really, they're not doing a very good job of it yet. And not only that, if they thought that the whole lockdowns and the vaccines and the COVID was a way to kill off the population, they really didn't think that through, because all the people who are awake and aware didn't fall for it. Therefore, they didn't get the vaccine. Therefore, they didn't do it the way they think. So he said, if they're going to try and wipe out all the population, all they're going to have left is all the awake people. And then they're really screwed. Like, can you imagine, I'm sorry to say, like, if they kill off all the people who just kind of are the robots, who just follow along and do what they're told and never question anything in the narrative, and the only people you have left standing are the people like us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they thought that through.
No, definitely not. And the fact that a lot of people who are on this furlough where they were at home and they had time on their hands, and maybe that gave them time to do research rather than being busy in work. I mean, seriously, I totally agree. They really did have an own goal with COVID, because now, I mean, I know they're trying to roll out the European passports. They're still trying to do it in Europe, and they're still trying to say, yeah, for the next 18 months, they're trying to roll out these digital passports. But you know what? I think they really have, once the horse is bolted, I can't see them going back, because people will just say, look, I said that actually at the start of the show, Danny, before I got you on. Even our own government over here in Ireland, I have zero, and I mean zero, respect for our politicians, because everything that's going on at the moment is, I mean, we've 10,000 homeless people, you know, mostly Irish people, you know, and yet they're opening the floodgates for everybody else to come in, and we haven't even solved that problem first.
No. Same thing. Listen, England's in the exact same place as Ireland right now. There are so many homeless people. The cost of living in England is skyrocketing at the moment. The cost of rent, just to rent a flat, is so exorbitant all over the place. Like, it used to be you could go move out to a small village out where, you know, people didn't want to live, away out in the middle of England or in the north of England. No, it's so expensive now. And when you drive those wedges in, like they have, people are just, they're not going to, they're getting to a point where they're not going to put up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. We are getting to that point. Well, look, I've one more question to ask you before we finish up. The question is, what are your thoughts on Brian Cox?
I don't know who Brian Cox is. Who's Brian Cox?
He's this guy. He's the new kind of science Patrick Moore astronomer guy. He played keyboards in the band Things. You know the song Things Can Only Get Better? I forget the name of the band. Maybe somebody in the chat room will remember. And now he's kind of a science guy and he does be on all these TV shows.
I've never heard of him, and I can't give you an opinion because I have no idea what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea what you're saying.
That's okay. That's no problem at all. Well, Danny, listen, thanks a lot for coming on. I know it was a bit of a panic moment, but we got there in the end, and that's great. So great information as usual, and good luck with everything you're doing and the team and the group that you have. And give out your details there where people can find you if they want to check out your business. So I know you have Gaia Garden as well, and if you have a few things there. So give out all your details there.
So my main shows, if I write articles, which is rather rare lately, I have to admit, is rts.earth, RTS, short for Removing the Shackles. I have a private membership site. Can I say the name?
Go on.
Unfuckersunite.com. Where that's my crew that we sit down and we get together twice a week to throw everything on the table. Literally, there's no holds barred. Every topic imaginable gets dissected in our crew. And my organic skincare and supplement company is called GaiasGarden.com, but it's GAEASGarden.com.
Fantastic. Okay, Daniel, listen, thanks a lot for getting on and having a chat. I'm just going to go off to a musical break. Just stay with me there for a few minutes, and we'll be back after this.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go. Can you feel it? Shaking your pants there to Michael Jackson. And the Jackson 5, I believe. Can you feel it? A big thank you for Danny. We got there in the end. It was very good timing, actually, because I had a few bits of stuff to read out anyway. And then Danny just timed it really well to get on. Just the timing mix up there. But no worries. We got there in the end and got it sorted and had a good chat there. So loads of things going on. It's amazing how many people are reading the information of what's going on. And as we said in the interview, based on what you know at the time, your opinion is based on that, plus your belief system as well, what you believe in. So keep it fluid. Always keep it fluid and entertain a thought. And never set your belief system in stone, because when you do that, you end up realizing, actually, I shouldn't have done that, because new information came in which contradicts what I thought I believed. So always keep it fluid and just say, for now, this is how I think. Tomorrow might be different. And that way it keeps the ego out of the equation and it keeps you open-minded as well. So that's the best way to approach it. Just touching base on the structured order again, I was just saying that I actually have the Vortexer, which I got from America, and I'm going to order the Vortexer from Harry. And Liam on the chat there got it, and I tried some water from the Vortexer, and it tasted fine. But I have noticed that I have that more energy, a little bit more energy than I did have. So the plan of attack is, now I mentioned about the video, about the blood test, and it was an American video, it was very good. And I thought, well, can we not do that ourselves over here? Is there not a microscope that we can get? Maybe we need to go into about 400 times magnification, or maybe 1,000 times magnification. I think between 400 and 1,000 is what we want, to actually see the blood and do a recording and do that ourselves. So I was kind of looking around during the week to find a magnifier, a microscope, I should say, just to find a microscope that could actually do the job. That's half decent price-wise. Not too expensive, but something that would do the job. So I'm just putting it out there that if anybody out there is familiar with this technology, microscopes, I don't know much about them. But if you know about them or know somebody that knows about them, and they can recommend one that's going to be pretty good to look at blood but not too expensive, send me an email to contact us at circlewhitelight.com, because I don't want to buy one and find out it doesn't do what I want it to do. So it'd be great to be able to do that, and then we'll do a video and then pop it on YouTube or whatever, and then so people can see that we're doing it, you know. Question from Peter Allen: did Harry ever tell you about the black box thing he had? Yes, I do actually have a black box, Peter, that Harry sent over, and I ran it for a few days, but then as usual things change, something happens, and I go, oh, I'll get back to that, and then obviously it's there to get back to. It's just one of them things, so I'll have to again, it's on my list to do along with a few other things. But what I'm trying to do at the moment is as well is to try and get a bit of me time, get away from this 24/7, because it is 24/7, you know. Well, it used to be an awful lot. I used to spend an awful lot of time, and now I'm kind of trying to reduce the amount of time that I'm involved in things. But it's just funny that I say I'm trying to get away from it, and then I'm out in the shed building a frame for two solar panels. So is that getting away from it? I don't know. So anyway, that's what, you know, I'm working on at the moment. So I've got one solar panel, I have to get another one and then hook it up, and then I've a couple of batteries coming in. I have the charge controllers and stuff like that. So I'll be setting it up and just experimenting. But I also found out during the week, and maybe you want to check this out, apparently there's grants out there for people who want to get solar panels on their house. So I'm not saying I have the money to do that. It's probably going to be way too expensive, but I want to find out of curiosity how much it would cost with the grant and if they can do what I want to do. Now, I don't want to have this kind of hot water system that they normally put out. I want to find out if they can install solar panels up to about 3 kilowatts that I can plug into my isolation switch or my transfer switch. So if the power does go out in my village, which it does on a regular basis, that I can use the solar panels to actually flick over and have emergency power. I'd rather do that than actually any other way. And I think it'd be cheaper doing that. The thing is that we don't have the ability to sell our energy that we create back to the ESB. Buying a grid tie inverter, which is what it's called. You can do it in the UK, you can do it in South Africa, but you can't do it over here. So we haven't got there yet to sell it back and save money on their electricity. But even if I got, say, a 3 kilowatt system, and every now and again you switch over to it for low powered stuff just to save on the electricity bill Hey, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. So I'd be just finding out what the cost would be. So I'll keep you posted. If the chap turns up and I'll kind of, you know, pretend that I'm interested in buying it just to see what he says and what the cost is, I'll definitely talk about it on the show and keep you posted and let you know what the grant is and how much it cost and what the plan of attack was. Out of interest, Ireland is a poor place for sun hours. It's not a case of the sun, but it's sun hours. And I think we normally get about an hour and a half is the maximum amount of sun hours that we get for solar panels, even if they're monocrystalline, which are good in low light. So we'll see what happens. I'll see what they suggest. Maybe the technology has moved on since then. But we'll see. We'll see what happens anyway. Right, my guest on the show next week is a chap called Frank Jacob. Now, Frank Jacob is a movie producer, director, and he talked a lot about the looking glass technology and all that stuff that's going on a very, very deep state level. And he's done some videos on the YouTube channel is called Inspired. And you have to log into the website to actually see the interviews that Frank did. But I thought it was very interesting what he was talking about, the looking glass technology and things they're planning, and obviously 2012 and Agenda 2012 and what they wanted to do. And he was saying that the reason why they put the vaccines out was because of the nanotech in it, the graphene oxide, because in 2012 there's going to be celestial and events going to happen. And basically, the whole idea of the vaccinated graphene oxide is to stop people from benefiting from that event in 2030. It's quite interesting. It's a bit out there, but it's quite interesting. So I said, Frank, would you come on and talk to us about it? So he agreed. So Frank's going to be on next week. So it's going to be interesting anyway. We'll have a chat about it. So that's who's on next week. Again, thanks to everybody who tunes in to the chat room. Thank you for giving me your time for 2 hours on a Sunday evening. It's much appreciated. And take it easy. Have a safe week. If you have any information of interest, email it over to me and contact us at circlewhitelight.com. For myself, Alan James on Circle of White Light, take it easy, stay safe, and we'll catch you next week. Bye bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on circleofwhitelight.com. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.